Welcome back to Through the Word and the Book of Exodus, chapter 18 today, and a critical lesson for anyone in leadership, and some fantastic wisdom from an unexpected source.
Yesterday, the Israelites arrived at Rephidim, and today they arrive at the place that they will stay for quite some time, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. And in verse 1, the return of one of our favorite characters. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt.
I love Jethro. Best supporting character in a Bible epic. I would cast Morgan Freeman as Jethro.
Ooh, good call.
So the chapter begins as Jethro heard everything God had done. Word is getting around. The Lord has a reputation. Now keep in mind, Jethro's not a believer. He's a priest, likely pagan.
When God starts working in your life, people find out, and they'll show up to ask what's going on. In verse 2, we learn that Moses had sent away Zipporah, along with her sons, and they had been living with her dad Jethro.
We also learn that Moses has two sons. Gershom was the first, foreigner, for Moses said, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land."
No more songs, Chris.
I'll be good.
Now in verse 4, the other was named Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh."
I like this. Eleazar means, "God is my help."
You don't know any bands called Help, do you?
No, but there is a Beatles song.
All right, let's stick to the story here. Moses has another boy.
Right. His name is Eleazar. It's a pretty awesome name. Moses recognizes that God is his help, and that humility is key to Moses' success. He always acknowledges God's hand.
So Jethro brings his daughter and two grandsons and reunites them with Moses. They're actually back near Jethro's home at this point. Remember, Moses' first encounter with the mountain of God was when he was watching Jethro's sheep.
Moses welcomes Jethro, and in verse 8, Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. That is a perfect example of testimony. In church, we talk about sharing your testimony, but that doesn't mean your life story. Moses shared everything the Lord had done. Again, God gets the credit, and he shares their hardships and how the Lord got them through.
And verse 9 says Jethro is delighted. Who doesn't love a testimony? And Jethro, the pagan priest, says, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you." And watch verse 11. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly."
Now that's awesome. God's work leads to Moses' testimony, which brings Jethro's praise and at last Jethro's faith. He knows that there is no God like the Lord.
And Jethro brings offering and sacrifice to God. And in a beautiful picture, the elders of Israel join Jethro to break bread together in the presence of the Lord.
Now verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?"
So Jethro gets a peek at a day in the life of Moses, and he's wearing himself out.
Talk about a hard day's night, with a line of people from morning till night. He's going to be working 8 days a week.
Chris, you're trying way too hard. And for that matter, so is Moses. Something has got to give. So Moses tells him why he does it. "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." The heart of the problem is Moses responding to needs instead of responding to God. In my life of ministry, that is always a recipe for burnout.
Amen to that. Need is endless. Need is not considerate. It will not help you keep your life in balance. And it will not tell you when to rest. Every Christian should ask regularly, "Am I serving God or just serving need?"
So Moses explains, and now it's Jethro's turn. Tell me what you see, Jethro. "Moses, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out." Moses is fixing a hole that will never fill, and it's wearing him out, and the people waiting for him. Important lesson here. Trying to help everyone will frustrate you and them.
And Jethro delivers the words that every leader needs to hear. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Moses, smell the roses. It's too much, but it's okay. We can work it out. All you need is a little help from your friends.
Oh, good night, Chris. You're trying way too hard.
Okay. In verse 19, the advice. Moses, listen to me now and believe me later. Wait, no, I read that wrong. Listen now to me and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you.
So Jethro begins with what Moses should keep doing. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. A leader should pray, bringing the needs and disputes of the people to God.
In verse 20, teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. A leader must teach what's right and show them how it's done. Preach it and practice it.
In verse 21, the leader must delegate, but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens.
So the appointed men will lighten the load. They'll take the simple cases, and anything too difficult goes on up the line to Moses, not unlike a modern court system. For the judges, four important qualifications are listed: capable, fear God, trustworthy, and hate dishonest gain. These guys cannot be open to bribes, and they need to know that God is their judge.
Each one of those is essential. For a leader, who you delegate to is crucial. Choose poorly, and you multiply your problems.
So in verse 24, Moses does it. He finds the right men, makes the assignments, and they all come together to help out.
Chris, it's all too much, man. But I will say, one thing that impresses me about Moses here is the humility to take advice. Really, he should have known better. And sometimes leaders convince themselves that they do know better. But Moses listens, and that humility serves him well. All I've got to do is delegate? Awesome, let's do it.
And so, life goes on for Moses, and in verse 27, Jethro's got to get back to his own country.
Chris, come on, get back? You're trying too hard. You can't force the Beatles songs. You got to act naturally.
All right, naturally.
That's how I do it.
Right. Wait. What do you mean how you do it?
Dude, I got 15 Beatles songs in the things we said today.
Wait a second. I only got 7. I didn't even know you were playing.
Also, Life Goes On isn't the title of the song. It's Obladi Oblada. So you got 6.
What? What just happened? You got 15?
Just let it be, Chris. Let it be.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.